Jesus, we do pour out our praise to you. Not just here while we're standing here together collectively, but we pour out our praise to you every single day. We pour out our praise so that the people around us hear the praise from our lips, hear the praise that comes from our hearts, so that those who are around us know of your goodness, know of your love, know of your faithfulness. We praise you and thank you, Jesus. We love you because you first loved us. So we love you back. We thank you, Jesus. You be glorified. You be glorified in this time. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Well, to my knowledge, does anybody have any birthdays or anniversaries? I'm not aware of any birthdays or anniversaries. Anybody? Wow. I don't know how to start the service without that. Well, first of all, thank you to Jim last week for filling in. I appreciate it. It was a good word. In fact, several people came to me afterwards and told me how that word played out in their lives throughout that week. So I appreciate that. Well, as we get ready for the word this morning, again, it's been 2 weeks since I had the opportunity to share with you. But if you remember and go back, because I want to continue in the word that we were sharing 2 weeks ago. So the last two messages that I shared with you, we were looking at how we as believers can live our lives in that fearless confidence that is ours in Jesus Christ. Fearless confidence. And my main verse, my foundational verse, is that beautiful, that tender, that comforting verse. That tender and comforting verse where Jesus himself says to us, "Fear not. Fear not." It's that beautiful verse from Luke chapter 12, verse number 32. Now, it says, "Do not fear," but I love it the way that Donna told it to me when I was like 22 years old. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, the last time we also saw from the book of Isaiah, we saw that when we are in that moment of fear in our lives, when you feel something coming on you, in that moment of fear, your heavenly Father is holding. I mean, picture this. This is what he says. Your heavenly Father is holding your right hand. He's lovingly and tenderly holding your right hand, comforting you, calming you in his word, which is Jesus. And as your Father is lovingly and tenderly holding your right hand, he is simultaneously lifting you up in his righteous right hand, which is Jesus Christ, in victory. We also saw the last time, and actually the time before that, we saw that fear makes us reluctant to move forward and to possess the promises that the Lord has for us. Fear makes us like a besieged city. A besieged city is always constricting until it falls. But faith has the opposite movement. Faith moves in the other direction. Faith advances. Faith possesses. Faith enlarges. And we saw that exemplified from the parable of the talents. Jesus has revealed himself to us. He's revealed himself to be the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd who leads us out individually. He's leading you out every day into the good pastures that he has prepared for you, the good things he has prepared for you. Jesus is the shepherd of Psalm 23. He is that shepherd that leads us through the valley of the shadow of death so that we need not fear any evil whatsoever. He's the one that leads us out. And he leads us to that king's table, to that place where all of those great blessings and favor of the Lord are established for us. So we know that fear makes us reluctant to move forward. Fear makes us reluctant to advance and possess those things of Jesus. Fear keeps us. Fear holds us back. And fear keeps us in that sheep pen. It keeps us from moving out into those good pastures. Essentially, this is what it means. Fear keeps us from enjoying those good things that the Lord has for us. Fear holds us back from those good things. Now, fear does all of those things. But there's another way that fear constrains. There's another way that fear actually brings devastating results. Fear can bring devastating results into our lives. Fear actually alters our thinking. Fear keeps us from thinking rationally. Fear keeps us from thinking kingdom of God. Fear keeps us from kingdom wisdom and from kingdom insights. Fear keeps us from those things. Fear makes our thinking unsound. Our thinking becomes unsound, even though we think, we believe that we're thinking clearly, but we're not. A familiar verse. This is 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear is a spiritual condition. Fear is a spiritual condition, and it is opposed to the Word of God, and it's opposed to the promises of God. Fear makes our thinking unstable. Fear fills us with cowardice and uncertainty when we should be courageous, bold, and sure in the things of God. Fear keeps us from moving ahead and in the power and in the love of Jesus Christ, possessing all of those good things that are already yours. Those are the things that fear. Fear alters our thinking, the way that we think. It keeps us from that kingdom wisdom and insight. Fear is what hinders us. Fear holds us back. Fear is not of God. Fear comes from the enemy. In fact, what God gives us is the opposite of fear. God says that He gives us His power. God gives us the supernatural, miraculous power that is evidenced in our lives. Fear, however, can blind us to that. God gives us the opposite of fear. He gives us His love. I love what that word means. When you look up that word, love there, when it says He gives us, doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, love actually means a love feast. He is giving us a feast of love at the king's table. The king's table where He has established every good thing for us. He's giving us a feast of love for us to partake in. And then finally, we see that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but He gives us a sound mind. A sound mind means sound reasoning with correlating behavior in us that acts upon His will and enacts His will through us. Just think about that for a second and think about what that actually means. I mean, just pause. You know, I love that word Selah that's in there. Just think about what that word means or think about what that means. He gives you sound reasoning. And when He gives you sound reasoning, that correlates with the behavior that is in you. When you have sound reasoning, your behavior starts to line up with the Word of God. Your behavior enacts His will in your life. It glorifies Him, and it brings His results in our lives. In Vine's Expository Dictionary, it actually defines that word that we read as sound mind. That word actually means saving the mind. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and saving the mind. He makes our mind sound. That's what He gives us. Fear is contrary to all of those things. Fear contrasts all of those things. Have you ever felt like your thinking is sometimes unsound? Ever feel like sometimes you just are not sure that what you're thinking makes any sense and you feel like it's not sound thinking? That's evidence that fear has already altered our thinking. And that's what hinders us from being able to possess, to lay hold of and possess all of His deliverances and all the promises that He has for us. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us that spirit of a sound mind. So here's the question we need to ask ourselves. Am I partaking in that love feast of the king's table, all of those good things that He has for me? Or instead, am I constricted in the bondage of fear? God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, and it is a spirit, but He gives us His power, His love, and a sound mind. Now, fear and a sound mind cannot coexist together. Fear and a sound mind are opposites. The mind that is operating in fear, That mind is unsound, and that mind is erratic. The mind that is operating in fear always makes bad decisions. That's the deceit that we have from fear. That's how fear deceives us. Fear causes us to make bad decisions, but in the moment we're making those decisions, they feel right to us, and it makes sense. We really believe, when we're operating in fear, we really believe that we're making good, solid, wise decisions, but we're not. God gives us a sound mind. So what's the opposite of a sound mind? Insanity. Fear literally makes our thinking insane. It doesn't feel like it. But tainted by fear, our thinking becomes insane, and probably everybody else around us realizes it, except for us. How many times have you made decisions in your life, and you were in that moment of fear and anxiety, and you really thought that you were making a good, solid decision, and then after the disastrous results of that decision, you look back at it later, and you said to yourself, what was I thinking? That was insane. Fear makes our thinking insane. It is exactly what fear does to us. We think we're making good decisions, but the reality is, when we're in fear, we're not in our right mind. And so our thinking then becomes insane. It's irrational. Our thinking becomes insane, and the disastrous results always take place in our lives. So in preparation for all this, I was reading several scientific articles that were talking about research that had been done about fear, talking about what fear was. Now, I can basically summarize what they said by saying this. There's two kinds of fear. The first fear is the fear that is generated by a moment of danger. So when all of a sudden you're in a dangerous situation, fear causes us to react and respond. It's a response that is designed to protect us. It's designed to cause us to either fight, defend ourselves, or to flee. So that kind of fear, that fear that comes instantaneously in a dangerous moment, that kind of fear is a safeguard. It is set aside. It's for us. It's for our protection. But understand this. That is not a spirit. That's not a spirit of fear. That's why there's two kinds of fear. That's not a spirit of fear. That is a built-in, quick, but temporary response to a dangerous situation. That kind of fear triggers all kinds of adrenaline to flow through our body. It causes our body to be able to respond to whatever that moment of danger is, to either cause us to defend ourselves or to cause us to flee. In fact, it's that kind of fear that actually makes, research shows, it actually makes your brain shut down different parts of your body's activities. When you're faced with a moment of fear, your body actually shuts down other activities. One of those is digestion. You stop digesting at that moment. Because your body is taking all of the resources of your body and it's focusing all of that on addressing that situation and that issue. But here's the thing. When that danger passes, when that moment of danger has passed, fear ends. Fear does not remain. That first kind of fear, that fear that is not a spirit, that does not remain. Now, the kind of fear that we're talking about this morning, the kind of anxiety-based fear that the Bible addresses, that kind of fear, that second kind of fear, that is not temporary. And that kind of fear can have a dangerous, unhealthy, negative hold upon our thoughts and upon all of our thinking. That kind of fear is what constrains us. That kind of fear is the fear that is the exact opposite of the things of God. That kind of fear makes our minds unsound, and it makes our thinking insane. Now, scientific research also shows us that our minds have an amazing capability to store up all kinds of memories. But when those memories are unpleasant, or when those memories are painful, those memories can have a powerful hold on our thinking and how we think. Anxiety-based fear. So I'm talking about that fear that we've been talking about the last two times, that fear of things that are not real, those things that have not yet come. Anxiety-based fears, they can actually pervert
your thought process. It corrupts. Anxiety-based fear corrupts your thinking. It plays tricks with your memory, and it plays tricks with your perception of reality. When we give ourselves and we yield to those anxiety-based fears, what is called a spirit of fear, when we give ourselves over to those kinds of fears, when we give ourselves over to those kinds of fears, we give ourselves over to all the wrong things. We give ourselves over to all those things that cause us to wind up being in bondage. It's that kind of fear that takes all of those memories that we have the ability to store up. It takes those memories. And then when a similar situation, so if there's a bad memory that took place, your mind, when it's in a spirit of fear, it'll take those bad memories. And then when a similar situation arises, it pulls up that memory, and then it takes that bad memory and it projects it forward into the future. So then we wind up being fearful that that bad thing that happened before may happen again. That has then changed. It is altered. At that moment, you have altered your perception of reality. Because what you're doing at that point is you're taking a past memory, you're projecting it forward into the future, and you become fearful about something that has not happened and may never occur. Look at this for an example. If I'm in a car accident, I'm certainly going to have a memory of that incident, right? I'll remember that. I'll have that memory. But anxiety-based fear will take that memory and it will project it forward. It'll project it ahead. It will change and alter my perception of reality. It'll project that ahead, and it can make me fearful of ever getting into a car and driving again. I could have gotten into a car 10,000 times previous to that with no incidents. But that one memory, when I yield myself, when I give myself over to fear, that one memory can cause me to be afraid to do something, to be afraid to get into a car and drive once again. Fear then has kept me from advancing and moving forward into the things that Jesus Christ has, the good things that Jesus Christ has for me. Fear hinders. Fear constrains. And again, when we're in fear, our thinking is not logical. Our thinking becomes insane. And we're the only ones who don't realize that our thinking is insane. This is why it's so imperative for us to make sure. And I'm not going to be able to touch on it this morning. Next week we'll look at it in more detail. This was supposed to be a one-week thing on fear, but I really wanted to use fear to set up because I wanted to talk to you about Psalm 91. We're getting to Psalm 91. It's just taking me a little bit longer to get there. But this is why it's so imperative for us to make sure that we're aware of that anxiety-based fear and not allowing that anxiety-based fear to rule, because it alters our thinking, it alters our judgment, and it makes our thinking to be insane. Now, when I was reading through all those different scientific articles, uniformly, they all agreed, uniformly, they all said, there's two responses to fear. Only two responses. Two responses, and very appropriately, those responses, in all these articles, they say the same thing. They're very appropriately called the high road and the low road. So the high road is very methodical. The high road is that thought process that is methodical and it's slow. Usually when the brain is taking in new information, it takes that information through the long, leisurely route through the prefrontal cortex of your brain. The prefrontal cortex of your brain, that's the part of your brain that takes information, it analyzes it, and it evaluates it, so that then you can make logical and rational decisions. The result of taking that long, leisurely route means you make logical and rational decisions in your life. That's the high road. The high road is where logical thinking takes place. It's where moral thinking takes place. And I'm not just taking that word and applying it. Actually, in one of the non-Christian articles that was talking about this, it actually uses that word moral. So the high road is where logical, moral, and creative thinking takes place. But anxiety-based fear, now listen to this, we want to take that high road. But anxiety-based fear causes us to take the low road. The low road bypasses all of that logical thinking. It bypasses even all of that moral. In other words, it bypasses that God-centered thinking. When we have anxiety-based fear, it forces us to take the low road, and the low road goes directly to the emotional center of our minds. And then we make quick, emotional-based decisions. The low road, it is the quickest, and it's the least logical path that we can take. The low road, that is when we take those anxiety-based fears. It's taking all those anxiety-based fears, and that's where the low road asks questions, or it shoots first and asks questions later. The low road doesn't apply thoughtfulness or logic to it. It's the low road. The low road is where we take all of those past memories and we bring them forward, and then we irrationally project them forward into the future. And we become concerned about things that may never take place and you may never have to worry about in your life. That's why God tells us, fear not. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now Satan, he wants us to take the low road. Satan wants us to be in fear. Satan wants us to take that low road. He wants us to live in that bondage of fear. He wants us to live in the bondage of fear, and he wants our thinking to be irrational, illogical, and insane. But Jesus wants us to take the high road. He wants us to release our fears and anxieties upon him. He wants us to live in his perfect peace. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We have a choice. We can either choose to take the high road or the low road. You have no choice when you give yourself over. When I give myself over to anxiety-based fears, I have no choice. I have taken the low road. That is the route that Satan wants me to take. When I take the high road, that is when I am able to hear his voice. You ever struggle hearing his voice? How many times have you heard somebody say, or you yourself have said, or even thought to yourself, I just don't hear the voice of God in my life. I don't hear the Holy Spirit speaking to me. It's when we take the high road. It's when we take the low road and we give ourselves over to that fear-based, that anxiety-based fear. That's when we have a hard time hearing his voice. When we take the high road, we hear his voice. That's when you hear and recognize the voice of the shepherd, the good shepherd, who wants to lead you out every day into those good pastures that he prepared just for you, knowing you specifically and knowing what he has planned for your day. But we can't hear that when we're taking the low road. And the low road is our only choice if we give ourselves over to that anxiety-based fear. The low road, that giving ourselves or yielding to that anxiety-based fear, that is the pathway of Satan through our thoughts. And when we take the low road, all those safeguards that are in place in the high road, this is what science has even proven. When we take the low road and we give ourselves over to fear, all of those safeguards that are designed in the high road cease to function. And that is when our thoughts become irrational. That's when our thinking becomes insane, even though we feel like and we think that we are clearly thinking and making good and wise decisions. Now again, according to research, when we bring up past memories and we dwell on those past memories, that starts a chain reaction in our thinking. It starts a chain reaction which takes us down that low road of fear. In fact, research that was done at New York University, this is fascinating. Research done at New York University concluded this. They said that this evil, this people that have evil hearts, the evil that causes people to create acts of terror, this is caused by this kind, because this is what they do. People that have evil hearts, they create acts of terror because those acts create a general, this is a quote, a general fear of the future. Research shows that hearts, they even say villainous, evil hearts, those hearts go towards acts, creating acts of terror, because they know those acts are going to create, in general, a general fear of the future. Where does all that evil come from? It comes from the heart of your enemy, Satan. All that evil is generated from Satan. Satan wants you to dwell on past memories. He wants you to dwell on those past memories. He wants you to take the low road of fear. He wants you to be reluctant to move forward, to advance into the future, because he does not want you to possess all of those promises and the good things that Jesus has for you. You know, we live in a culture and a society where it is fair game for us to give ourselves over to fear. In fact, so many things in our culture really focus us towards fear and cause us to be doubtful. And yet everything in the culture that leads us towards fear, that is the enemy's attempt to get you to take the low road, because he knows that he can then keep you from possessing all of those good things that Jesus has for you. We need to make sure that we're taking the high road that he's established for us. Look, we can choose to either be in fear or not be in fear. But when we choose to be in fear, we are choosing to believe the lies of the enemy rather than believing the promises of the Word of God and the promises of Jesus Christ. It's a choice that we make. In fact, in effect, what we do when we choose to be in fear, we're choosing to take the low road, and we are making the choice to allow Satan to be the one who leads our decision-making process. That can't be good. That's why God tells us, instructs us, make sure that we take the high road. That's why God instructs us to release, to cast our anxieties and our fears upon him. This is exactly what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. I'm going to show you this in the Amplified Bible. Again, a very familiar verse, but it certainly summarizes exactly what we're talking about. Casting the whole, not part, not a little, not some, not most, casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, all of these things will cause you to take the low road. All of your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all. Once you cast your anxieties upon him, you can release it. Let it go. It's in his hands. He can take care of it. I need not worry about whatever's causing me anxiety again. Andrew Womack gave a great illustration once. He said, when you look at this verse and it says, cast your anxieties upon him, he said, picture you have your car keys in your hand, and you cast those car keys to Jesus. Now, if somebody comes to you and demands your car, demands to steal your car, you can say, hey, I don't have the car keys. You got to go talk to Jesus. They're not going to steal your car. See, when the Bible tells us to cast our anxieties upon him, that means we release it. And once it's in the hands of Jesus, I don't have to worry about any of those things. That's why it says cast those things once and for all, your anxieties, your fears, your worries. Cast them once and for all and leave them in the hands of Jesus. He cares for you affectionately, and he cares about you watchfully. Now, that should really stick in your minds based on what I said earlier this morning before we got into praise and worship. That God the Father said to me about you, I'm the shepherd of these people, and I am fiercely protective of them. It's because he is fiercely protective of you. He wants you to know his word, believe his word, so that you can cast those anxieties, those fears, and those worries upon him, release it, and you're always taking the high road. You are free and independent. Your mind is thinking rationally, logically. You're able to have kingdom wisdom and insight. You're able to hear his voice, the voice of the good shepherd. Because you know what? Today, the good shepherd has plans for you. He's got plans out there in the day for you. He planned them for you specifically. And he says that his sheep know his voice. We know his voice, Sometimes we can't hear his voice because we've taken the low road. And that insane thinking makes it impossible for us to hear him. But he's got plans for you. The good shepherd has plans for you. He wants you to walk into all of those things. This is why it's so imperative for us to make sure that we don't yield or give ourselves over to that anxiety-based fear that is so prevalent. And we excuse sometimes, I can't help it. I'm just afraid. We have a choice. It is a choice that we can make. Tuesday was the 4th of July. I slept in on the 4th of July. I will tell you that I slept in around 10 o'clock. Because if I say 10 o'clock, if I say around 10, that means it could have been like 9:30 or 9:45 instead of the 10:20 that it actually was. So I'm just going to tell you that I slept until around 10 o'clock on 4th of July. So by the time I got up, Donna was already working away on something, so I didn't want to bother her. And I just went into our living room, and I sat down in a chair. Now, I was looking out the window, and our living room wall, we have these two oversized sets of sliding glass doors. They are oversized. So basically, our whole back wall is just like looking through glass. And in our backyard, we have lots of grass. We've got lots of old trees. We've got lots of new trees. There's always, I'm just sitting there, and sitting there watching, I'm just watching all these birds flying by. And I was amazed, because most of the time, there's like two, three, or four birds all active within my field of vision at any moment. And I could not go, I would time it, I could not go more than like 3 or 4 seconds of seeing no birds. There's birds everywhere back there. I mean, they had all the common birds, like robins and cardinals and sparrows, but there's all kinds of other ones. There was some beautiful birds. I mean, there was, we've got two kinds of finches. We've got a goldfinches, house finches. There was chickadees. There's nuthatches. There's bluebirds that are there. It's just beautiful to sit and watch all these birds. And as I'm sitting there watching all these birds flying around, I think, wow, this is a lot of birds out there and back. We have a lot of birds because Donna has all these bird feeders. She's got all these bird feeders in the backyard. You can't go to any window in the back part of our house and not have some bird feeders within your vision so that we can watch the birds. So I'm sitting there watching all these birds, and there's literally, there's got to be like 250 or 300 birds in our backyard at any one moment. This is great. And as I'm sitting there watching all this quietly, this is what the Lord said to me, because he brought this to my mind with this message. He said, imagine if all of those birds had the same fears and anxieties that you have sometimes. Imagine if birds had that kind of anxiety. Those birds in our backyard, if they were paying attention, they would know that Donna is the lady that fills up all those bird feeders. Donna is the source of all the food that goes into those bird feeders that keeps them fed. They'd probably also notice that, oh, at about 8:15 every morning, Donna opens up the garage door, the lady who feeds, puts the feed in the bird feed, gets into her car, and drives away. They'd also notice that every night about 5:30 or 6 o'clock, that lady who puts the bird seed in the bird feeders comes back into the garage, and at some point she fills up those bird feeders again. But if those birds were anxious and fearful, if they gave over to that kind of anxiety-based fear that we do, the next morning that Donna drives out of the house at 8:15 in the morning and drives away, those birds would be saying, there goes that lady. She's the one that puts the bird feed into our bird feeders. Where is she going? Now, they might know that she comes back at 5:30 or 6, but because they have that anxiety-based fears, they're saying, what if she doesn't come back? There has been times in the past that she's gone on vacation. There's been like 7 days that nobody has come and put food into our bird feeders. What if that lady doesn't come back? Or what if she's gone for good? What if she moved and we'll never see her again? Pretty soon, all the food's going to be gone out of our bird feeders. How am I going to take care of my family? I'm going to have to start fighting off other birds to get the bird seed that's in there. And then by the time that Donna came home at 5:30 or 6, she'd come home and she'd find like 250 or 300 birds all laid out on the ground, curled up in the fetal position and whimpering and crying because they're afraid of what has happened. Who's going to put feed into their bird feeders? And I laughed as I got that picture. And as I was laughing inside myself, the Lord showed me. He said, well, think about those birds curled up in the fetal position, because that's what you do. And you know what? Birds in the fetal position on the ground, that's a vulnerable position for a bird to be in. Because birds avoid their prey by being in the trees or flying through the air. Their moment of vulnerability is when they're on the ground. So if you have 200 to 300, 250 to 300 birds all curled up in the fetal position, whining and crying, they are vulnerable. And the Holy Spirit said to me, that is what happens to you. You make yourself vulnerable to all the things of the enemy. You make yourself vulnerable when you give yourself over to that anxiety-based fear. For God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, his love feast that he has established for us at the king's table, and of a sound mind. These are the things that God gives us. So my question is, for me, and you can ask it of yourself, are my thoughts taking me on the high road? Are they trusting in Jesus Christ and relying upon him? Are they trusting in Jesus and relying upon him for all things, regardless of how things might appear in my life? Are my thoughts on the high road? Or instead, are my thoughts on the low road of Satan? And on that low road, it bypasses all that trust in the Lord. I can answer that question by answering this question. Is my life dominated by fear? Or is my life dominated by being in his perfect peace? It's one or the other. This is what it says in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 26, verse number 3 in the Amplified Bible says, "You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character," we could talk about this verse for a while, "its mind, both in inclination and character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, hopes confidently in you." Commit to taking that high road. Commit yourself to believing in the promises of God. Commit yourself to that high road and not yielding to that anxiety-based fear which so easily overtakes us and overwhelms us. Now, we can all understand that fear is unhealthy for us. Fear is a spirit, and it's a spirit that is contrary to the very spirit of God. And perhaps even as we're thinking about this, perhaps we even realize how often we've actually already given our mind and our thoughts over to that low road of fear. And once we give ourselves to that low road of fear, we start to initiate fear's response. And fear's response is bad decision-making and insane thinking. So how do I get my mind back on the high road? How do I get this mind back on the things of God? How do I get this mind which God designed and created in me? How do I get that mind back on the high road? How do I stop projecting all of those fears? How do I stop projecting all those bad memories and all those fears? How do I stop irrationally projecting them forward, which all that does is paralyze me with fear, and it's paralyzing me with fear about something that has never happened and may never even exist? How do I do that? Well, the very beginning of that answer, and I emphasize this, the beginning, the very beginning of that answer is found in Matthew chapter 6. This is Matthew chapter 6, verse number 25. "Therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried." God's not going to tell you to stop doing something unless he's given you the power to do it. But we'll talk about that more next week. "Stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put in. What you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing?" How do I stop being in fear? I choose to have my mind stayed upon him. So instead of thinking about those problems that are before me, or in a lot of cases, it's thinking about those potential problems that might be before me but don't even exist yet. Instead of thinking about those things, I need to choose to think on this. Think on the goodness of Jesus Christ. Think on his faithfulness. Think about his love for you. Think about those things. And that's exactly what Philippians tells us. Philippians 4:8, again, a verse we all know. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Fix your mind on the good things of Jesus Christ. Commit to take the high road in Jesus. Now, when I'm thinking about those good things, in essence, I'm thinking on the things of the Word. When I'm thinking on good things, I'm in the Word of God. And that is, and I emphasize, this is the starting place. That is the first step in removing fear from our thoughts. We don't have to live with that anxiety-based fear about anything. And the first step in removing that fear from our lives, the first step comes from being in the Word of God. And when I say being in the Word of God, I don't mean just reading the Word of God. I mean that we are reading the Word of God and we are meditating on the Word of God. And because we're reading, we're spending time, and we're meditating on the Word of God, we're getting revelation from the Word of God. And that's what we're going to learn about next week when we look at, first of all, we're going to start with the experience of Paul in his Road to Damascus experience. And we're going to start to see the very first step in how we remove that fear from our thinking. Jesus, we thank you and praise you that you have told us that we have nothing to fear. You have told us to stop being afraid. You've told us to cast our anxieties upon you. You have every good thing established for us. And we realize and understand that it is the enemy himself who puts those fears in front of us, who brings up those memories, who wants us to dwell on the past things, who wants us to start that chain reaction of going to the low road of fear, because he wants us to be fearful of the future, because he knows if we're fearful of the future, we will stay put, we'll be paralyzed, we'll be frozen, we will not move forward in the things that you have for us. So we say to the enemy, he is defeated in our lives, and we will not yield or give ourselves over to any kind of fear. We are not bound by that spirit of fear. For we have your spirit within us. We have all that your spirit brings, all the liberties and all the freedoms. And in that your spirit, Holy Spirit that is in us, we have the strength to stand when fear comes, to stand boldly and give no place to it. And we commit ourselves to be in your word, to think on all those good things, those lovely things, those noble things, those things that are praiseworthy, to meditate on those things. We commit ourselves to meditate on your word and to wait and listen for your revelation so we can hear your voice, you, Jesus, our good shepherd, as you lead us out into the day and into the good pastures you've prepared for us. We thank you and praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen.